It's a joy to be here with you again this evening. All these wonderful people are for life. In particular, it's a joy to be with Bishop Fisher and Dietmar Fischer and all the people who put this, in various ways, this conference for life together. It is a clear, visible sign. When I arrived and I saw it, there were so many people outside ready to greet me. I said, this must be a pro-life gathering. Because I just left the United States because, as it was mentioned, the clinic that closed started in 1971, and it was the oldest and largest clinic in New York City. And it was closed really before many people in the pro-abortion movement realized it was happening. And so I received a couple of endearing emails before I left with a few other invitations for the future. So maybe I'll get out of the country, come to peaceful Austria. The late Pope John Paul II, 17 years ago, at the end of his great encyclical letter, The Gospel of Life, he pleaded in prayer with the Mother of Life, and it seems fitting to begin this talk with that same prayer. O Mary, bright dawn of the new world, Mother of the living, Mother of life, to you do we entrust the cause of life. Look down, O Mother, upon the vast numbers of babies not allowed to be born, of the poor whose lives are made difficult, of men and women who are victims of brutal violence, of the elderly and the sick, killed by indifference or out of misguided mercy. Grant that all who believe in your Son may proclaim the gospel of life with honesty and love to the people of our time. Pope Benedict XVI, in his encyclical letter, Caritas in Veritate, he pointed out that a particularly crucial battleground in today's culture struggle between the supremacy of technology and human responsibility is in the field of bioethics. Is man the product of his own labor, or does he depend upon God? Development must include not just material growth, but also spiritual growth. Since the human person is a unity of body and soul, born of God's creative love and destined for eternal life. When man is far away from God, man is unsettled and ill at ease. Social and psychological alienation and many neuroses that afflict affluent societies are attributable in part to spiritual factors. There cannot be holistic development and universal common good unless people's spiritual and moral welfare is taken into account, considered in their totality as body and soul. The supremacy of technology tends to prevent people from recognizing anything that cannot be explained in terms of matter alone. But the spiritual dimension must be present for authentic development. True development requires new eyes and a new heart, capable of rising above a materialistic vision of human events, capable of glimpsing in development that which is beyond the technology and beyond the technology can give. How is it possible that we now have more knowledge of development of the child in the womb than any other people in the history of mankind possessed. With less respect for life in the womb than any previous generations. We have gone from 3D to 4D sonograms, machines, that allows us to see clearer than ever before what the baby in the womb looks like. How can we justify aborting the unborn child whose every move in the womb is now clearer than ever for us? We have made great advances in human fetology and embryology. Moreover, as a result of the science of modern molecular biology, we now know that the human body contains about 10 trillion cells with identical genomes. Each human cell contains about 10 feet of DNA coiled into a dense tangle. The Human Genome Project of 2001 decoded at least 60,000 genes in each cell. Stretches of DNA around and between the genes seemed at that time in 2001 to do nothing and were called junk DNA. In the following years, the scientists started the Epigenome Project to further encode the cell to learn how the genes work in order to correct diseases. To the surprise and the amazement of the scientists, they have now discovered that the so-called junk DNA contains genetic switches controlling how the genes function within the cell. Scientists now believe that errors or mutations in genetic switches can disrupt the network and lead to a range of diseases. The analysis was daunting, since the researchers generated 15 trillion bytes of raw data. Analyzing the data required the equivalent of more than 300 years of computer time. How great is the wisdom, the intelligence, and the power of God, who creates a single cell that contains in itself a whole universe of information. How humbling, how great and worthy of our praise is God. And then I think, in spite of the enormous information that we now have about the very beginnings of human life, of how many young women going into abortion mills around the world on this very day will be demonically told by the abortionist that the newborn life within their wombs is just a blood clot. They tell them that the unborn child is not human until it looks human. They will totally neglect or suppress the advancements in the sciences of fetology and embryology and the incredible findings of human life at its earliest stages by modern molecular biology. To establish a culture of life, the moral blindness to the sacredness of life, the proper use of human sexuality, and the importance of marriage as a home and sanctuary of life, as God designed it, must be restored. Since the blindness is worldwide, we need to ask once again the Mother of Life, who stood at Calvary, pleading and interceding with her Son, to free us today from moral blindness and sin by restoring the family as the sanctuary of life. In the face of the culture of death, the family must be the heart of the culture of life. If not there, where? If not now, when? We need Christian heroes whose virtuous lives will serve as a rampart against the relentless attacks on family as God designed it, on human life as God created it. We need to turn again to behold our mother and ask her intercession with a son who alone can crush the head of the serpent and restore a culture of life. It's important for us to realize that the attack on life and family is done so frequently by godless sex education programs, especially in our schools. Sex education in secular schools exclude God and God's plan for sexuality. The word God is not mentioned. God and God's plan is at the heart of Catholic sexuality. There are objective norms that require self-control and discipline. We must treat human problems with human solutions. The secular world has given up hope in our young people's ability to practice self-control, to be chaste. It's not the children's fault that many of their teachers and so-called learning material are hopeless and normless. You can't tell young people that freedom is their right to choose any behavior they wish or feel is right, and then admonish them for the results of becoming pregnant, sick with venereal diseases, even dying of AIDS. Our young people should be challenged to be chaste, because chastity means living within the limitations of reality, living within the truth. The very structure or apparent limitations free us, and they allow for our growth. A society without structure is a contradiction. A society without norms or limits results in disorder, chaos, and destruction to all in society. The perennial sin of pride always wants to remove limitations and to do away with God. The creature refusing to obey the limitations that God wisely informs us about, because only God is limitless. If only we could eat the forbidden fruit, we would be like God. I can put as much air, so to speak, into the tire on my car as I want. You can, but may you? When the tire explodes in your face, no one will have to tell you the wisdom of our behavior conforming to the built-in limitations of the reality of being the creature and not the creator. We cannot live without water, heat, or fire, but misused, nature is an awful avenger with no respect for persons. The fire and water can just as quickly destroy or drown the individual. The sexual powers are designed for life and are to be used only as a body language that says, I love you. I give myself totally to you until death. And I remain open to the new that may result from our personal love expressed in the special nuptial language of the body expressed in the sexual act. You have to start with the positive design and purpose and plan of God in marriage and Christian marriage and work backwards for someone to understand why should they restrain and control themselves unto married. Otherwise, a young person only hears the adult telling them, you can't do this, you can't do that, and it seems very negative. If a young person does not know God, does not understand God's creation and beautiful plan for newness of life found in the very design of their own bodies, how can they withstand today's culture that largely ignores or attacks Christian Judaic norms of morality as antiquated and dated? A Christian today is under attack from those who want to establish a culture without norms, or at least without standards derived from Christian and Judaic traditions. For them, any law that limits freedom by truth is anti-democratic. Freedom is limited by reality. A vision never becomes a reality through wishful thinking or broken promises. It requires clear focus on truth, discipline, and self-sacrifice. All authentic love between a man and a woman, when it's not egotistic love, tends towards creation for another being issuing from that love. For some, love means to love oneself. And often such love is no more than the juxtaposition of two solitudes. But when one has passed beyond the stage of egoism, when one has truly understood that love is shared joy, a mutual gift, then one comes to what truly is love. True love cannot deliberately separate its love from the fruit of love, fecundity. It imitates the creative act of God and gives life and sacrifice on behalf of life. The normal, natural place for children to learn about God's design for human sexuality is in the home. And the primary responsibility to teach the children belongs to the parents. The church's work is to help inform the parents about God's design for human sexuality and about man's weakness as a result of the original sin. The church must emphasize the young people's need for God's help, which is obtained through prayer, mortification, the sacraments, and devotion to the Mother of God, the Mother of Life. To Mary, the Mother of the Church, is indeed the mother of each member of the Church. The children must be taught while they're young and as they grow to love and ask the help of the Mother of God, the Mother of Life, their mother. Devotion to the Mother of Life is essential for the young person to be holy and pure. For Jesus told us all, behold your mother. The real victims in our society are the children, born and unborn. The children are taught to pursue pleasure rather than principles. The young adults are told responsibility is not to become pregnant by using contraceptives, or if they become pregnant, to be practical and get rid of the child, since you are not ready to be a parent. Obviously, if the children are not ready to be parents, then they're not ready to have sex. The world says, oh no, just protect yourself. Safe sex with safe sex. Our young people don't deserve such nonsense. They deserve a break today from all the immoral nonsense in high places that has a veneer of respectability. In truth, they are teaching our children how to break the Ten Commandments of God. They do this especially in forced sex education or health classes in the schools. But the spiritual souls of our young people has often been polluted by the music they listen to, the TV shows they watch, the videos that they watch, the movies and magazines they read and watch. Remember this, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. Hate is the contradictory of love. We cannot remain indifferent while the culture of life is in a state of free fall. We cannot remain silent and inactive while Judeo-Christian values are being dismissed, suppressed, ridiculed, rejected in country after country. We are involved in a great civil war for our values and traditions and lifestyle. We must protect our children from the culture of death while there is still time. And indeed, there is still time to establish once again a culture of life. If we allow Mary, the mother of life, to lead us and intercede with her son for us, be assured we will win if we spend and work for the culture of life. And if we speak each day the prayer that the late John Paul II urged us to say. O Mary, bright dawn of the new world, mother of the living, mother of life, to you again we entrust this evening the cause of life. God bless you.